folks!
Is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
I still think, oh, think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration, but not for me, and I was send them for someone else. Why all the people always seem to just be on vacation? What do I get from it? I don't get anything at all. I'm like a trash can.
Live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, welcome into Overtime. Fenner Radio, Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Fulgerson, Alex Comas in the studio with you guys. Like I said, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. We are here post game day. Going to obviously break down all that happened, not only in the Tennessee Vanderbilt game, but also in the college basketball world, because there were a couple of upsets of note, and then just a couple of fun games to talk about as well to shape March Madness. And there's some fun games tonight. There's a top 10 matchup in the Big Ten at 7 o'clock, as well as Ohio State plays Michigan State at 9 p.m. Eastern time. So two big Big Ten games tonight we want to talk about as well. But before we get into any college basketball, before we get into anything else, before I even ask you about your days, obviously the breaking news of the day for Fanner Radio, hesitate saying the Fox Sports Knoxville part because of the breaking news. We are now going to become a member of the Outkick family. So shout out to Outkick and the family for picking us up, becoming the first station affiliate in the country of Outkick. A lot of people giving us a lot of love from it. Shout out to, I can't remember his first name, but Hutton and Chad Withrow of Nashville, who are the new members of the Outkick team, quote tweeting that tweet. And giving us some love there. Appreciate everyone. If you're from the Outkick family who's just now joining Overtime for the first time, welcome in. Will Stevens.
Tucker Holt right here.
John Fulgerson. Not that John Fulgerson, but our John Fulgerson. We love John B. Folke over there up in the perch, and Alex Comas over there breaking it down on the fourth mic. Just little breaking news to start the day. Or not start the day, that was 4 o'clock, but little breaking news.
It's been a while,
nonetheless.
But still fresh.
Yes, still fresh. So I just wanted to talk about that, obviously mention it. You can't not mention that when we're doing a radio show, especially when it comes out 2 hours before.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, that obviously is a decent note. Decent note.
Pretty good.
Makes your day
it's
go pretty good. But how's your day been besides that?
My day's been pretty good. Didn't have a lot going on. You know, worked the old day job kind of thing. You know, taking it easy. Didn't work too much today. Drove here, and now I'm here.
Nice.
Got some beverages to make sure I don't choke today during the show. I've had that problem in the past. But I think we're going to have a pretty smooth, easygoing show today. I feel pretty good. I'm riding high. Last night I hit all but one of my bets. I went 3-1.
My bad.
It's all right. It's okay.
I told you before I gave you the pick that it was purely a line play and not a pick.
There were times in that game I thought it was going to hit, and then they kind of ran off.
We'll definitely talk about that game because that was one of the big games of last night.
But hitting a parlay and then two straight bets. I saw that Scottie Pippen Jr. and Daisu and the other guy, I don't know who else was out.
It's always like that was like the third name thrown into like a LeBron trade. Like no one really cared about that kid. It was Scottie Pippen Jr.
But it can't be good that he didn't play. And as soon as I saw that they were missing, I placed the bet within 30 seconds of Tennessee to cover, and they did.
It didn't look great for a second. The third guy who was not playing, would you like any crack at it, or you want me to go ahead and tell you?
Scotty.
Clevon Brown.
Okay, well, all right.
Clevon Brown was not playing last night either. Folgy, how you doing, man? Doing good?
Yes, I am doing good.
Sick.
I did watch the basketball game.
Attaboy.
Last night.
Proud of you.
Are you going to watch the game tonight?
Who's playing tonight?
Never mind. You are.
You are.
I am.
No.
Your team.
Oh, gotcha.
In a big matchup.
Who do we play?
I said it 2 minutes ago.
Come on, dude.
Do you listen to the show?
No.
Yes. Okay, I like.
Guess.
Do you even care about college basketball?
I care about March Madness.
Okay.
The regular season, I mean, 64 teams make the tournament.
Sure.
It's kind of hard to get.
Do you know how many teams are in the FBS D1 college basketball programs?
131.
Is that right?
No.
I thought it was more. I think there's a lot more basketball than there is football
63.
Teams.
63. That's a fact.
Well, I mean, there's at least 63, but no.
There's at least 64.
There's at least 64.
There's 350 schools that are full members of 32 Division I basketball school.
New is a lot more than basketball. So 64 out of 350.
Yeah.
Compared to 160.
Yeah.
It's a small percentage.
Sure is.
Comparatively to pro leagues, where 32 teams, and this year, how many teams got in? Was it 7 from each side? So 14 teams out of 32?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I do understand if you're not the biggest college basketball fan why you would wait until March. Is the same reason as people who don't watch a lot of the NBA wait until conference finals or playoff time, because that's when they think people are playing defense. I mean, I only watch playoff baseball if I watch playoff baseball. So, I mean, like I do understand that part. But you got a number 4 team in the nation. A 1 seed, Folky.
Pretty good.
And you're not paying attention to it, man.
I'm paying attention. I checked the box score. I see it across the timeline when
you got those notifications on.
When we win or lose. Yeah, I watch it sometimes.
Oh, programming alert. I saw this while I was out to eat today. Your two favorite shows? I don't know if they're moving or if they're on the same station they've always been, but Everybody Loves Raymond and King of Queens, they have a marathon this weekend on TV Land.
I have them both on DVD.
Never mind. I just wanted to let you know.
I appreciate
it. It's a marathon in Folky's house every day.
It's a good point by you. Good point by you.
Every day.
So every time you want to watch Everyone Loves Raymond, you have to put in a DVD?
I mean, it's not like a chore. It's just a DVD.
Like, they don't have it on any streaming services?
I'm sure they do.
TV Land.
Yeah, Folky just likes his, like, you know, his very old school classic DVD.
He wants a hard copy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay to watch it on a streaming service if I already have the DVD.
It's fair.
I can respect it.
What happens if you're on a roll and like season 4 episode 9 happens and all of a sudden you got to switch to season 5 episode 1?
Yeah. I put the new DVD in.
God, man, I don't know if I could wait.
I don't think I can live in that kind of.
You're an antiquated 12-year-old.
I don't know exactly what that means.
Old.
I think he means antique 12-year-old.
Ancient.
I'm an old 12-year-old.
Yep.
That's a, what is it, oxymoron?
Perfect.
Exactly.
Alex, how you doing today, man?
Good.
Sick.
Yep.
Nice.
I mean,
you always keep it short.
I'm pretty tired. I'm ready for the weekend. I had to work today after 3 and
you
out.
You seem tired. So. You seem a little sluggish. I pointed it out before the show. We offered you a hug. You turned us down. Offered a kiss. Folky offered to give you a little smooch, maybe perk you up a little bit, and you turned it down.
Turned it down.
I'm worried about you.
Yeah, took a hard pass on that.
Okay, that's all right. It'll be there if you ever need it.
Folky's. I'm glad you're doing good though. I'm tired too. I think we're all pretty tired. Ready for the weekend, obviously ready for a big game against Auburn. But before we even look ahead to that game, we should probably talk about what happened last night. Tennessee, not an impressive win, but a win nonetheless, gets the 12-point dub over Vanderbilt. I believe I did that math right, 58-70? Is that 12?
Yes.
Boom. I'm so smart. Outscoring the...
For the record, everyone, if you remember from yesterday, my score prediction was 71-59. So that's a...
I'll give you some skin on that one.
It was close.
I'll go ahead and pat myself on the back then if that's what we're doing here, because I said that this game probably feels like it's going to be an ugly game and we're going to pull away at the end.
Yeah.
That happened as well. 70-58 does not describe the whole entire game. I mean, hell, the halftime score didn't even describe the first half. Going into the halftime with a 10-point lead, even though you felt like you were down 5, you go into the halftime on, what was it, a 15-0 run to end halftime? No, 15-2 run, outscoring them, go up 32-22, and then close game in the second half, only being able to outscore them 38-36. Anybody know who the leading scorer last night was for the Vols?
Victor Bailey?
That's correct.
No.
By 1 point. He was only up by 1 point.
How many threes did he have, like 4?
5. He was 5 of 8 from three-point range, 7 of 14 from the field, 50%. Is one of his better shooting outages so far this season.
He's heating up at the perfect time of year. Like, I mean, it's much better to have that now than for him to be hot early and then flame out. Like, I'd much rather him be hitting these strides at this point in the season as we're getting ready for the tournament.
We talked about it with teams, but players are the exact same way. Yeah. I mean, it goes into a team playing well, obviously.
If this team has any chance to make a run, Victor Bailey has to play the way he's playing right now.
For sure.
He's raised his three-point percentage 8 points since he got tossed into the starting
lineup. It wasn't terribly low. I mean, it was higher than we were expecting. It wasn't good, don't get me wrong, but it was, I think it was right around 28-ish.
29, that's really bad.
Well, okay, but As bad as we were expecting. I mean, that's 30%. Yes, that's not good, but that's an average three-point shooter. He's not what we didn't need an average three-point shooter, but yes, it is nice to see him improve, hit his strides.
But he wasn't supposed to be average. That's why I was kind of ragging on it, was he was supposed to come in and be our true perimeter threat.
Oh, no, I 100% agree. But I think when we did the guessing game, I think we all guessed below his actual percentage. I mean, not shockingly below, but still. 21 points for him last night. Jaden Springer only 5 of 8 from the field, 0 of 2 from three-point range, but he was able to still put up 20 as he got 10 points from the free throw line, 10 of 10 from the charity stripe. 4-6 from the charity stripe for Keon Johnson, who was 1-6 from the field. Not a great game from Keon. Had a good dunk. Was able to get to the free throw line a couple of times, but 6 turnovers, 4 fouls to go along with 1-6 from the field, but playing decent defense with 1 steal and 2 blocks. Pons put up 10, murdered a guy, and also got murdered. So he dunked on someone and got dunked on. Josiah Jordan James off the bench was 1-6, 2 points. 3 steals, however, with an assist and 5 rebounds as well. Pons led the team in rebounding with 10 rebounds. Overall, it was an average at best performance. You were able to pull away. You were able to look like a good team on some stretches, but you also, that was the worst basketball I've seen from this Vols team in quite a bit. So the pro from this takeaway from this game would be, obviously, you were able to pull away. You're able to look like a good team in a couple of stretches. Negative is obviously you look like the worst basketball team you've ever looked like all season long in that first half and during a couple of stretches.
Yeah.
Especially to a team, just like that Florida team we lost to, was missing their leading guys. And when I say leading guys, we talked about how top-heavy this team was yesterday. It wasn't like leading guys as in, okay, senior leadership, or okay, that's a little bit of minutes, but they still have bench players that are good. This was Scottie Pippen Jr. and Dylan Dyson, dude who's averaging 15-9, and a guy who's averaging 21 points a game.
Yeah.
And you still were only able to win by 12. This was a disappointing game from the Volunteers, regardless of the result.
Yeah, and effort just seemed sluggish at times. Like, guys getting back on defense or just... Like, there was times where you would kind of see the offense pick up pace a little bit, and the ball movement would be better. Guys were actually running in their sets and, you know, actually moving with some sort of motivation. And we would get good looks for a basket, and you know, it would convert into points. And then there would be times where they just looked like they didn't want to be there at all. And they would just be jogging, lackadaisical, not even... There was times where somebody wouldn't even know who they were supposed to have in, you know, a certain defensive set or whatever. And it was just ugly at times, like really, really ugly.
For sure. And to be fair, we kind of talked about it. What was it? Maybe the Kentucky game? We might have talked about it. Whatever game was before the South Carolina game, I think we also talked about it. But teams having good nights, three-point shooting wise. Yeah. Now, I wouldn't consider Vandy to have a good night from the three-point line when you look at the percentage at 39. So it's a decent night at best. I wouldn't say good. But 13 to 33, when you're putting up 33 and able to put 13 of them in, 13 points, or 13 threes, is a lot of points coming from that line, mm-hmm. especially when you look at Trey Thomas, 4 of 6 from three-point range. You also had McBride, who was 3 of 4, and Evans, who was 3 of 8 from the three-point line. You got to figure out a way to run somebody off the three-point line, especially if we are looking at bracketology is pretty accurate in predicting, and we're looking at a second-round matchup. Obviously, this team might not be good enough to even look ahead to a second-round matchup, but if you're looking ahead to a second-round matchup against West Virginia, like they know those two guards will put the ball in the basket from wherever, mm-hmm. and you already know you have trouble rebounding the basketball and stopping a big man in the middle. That's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah,
you got to learn how to run somebody off the three-point line. Any other takeaways from this game? Looking forward to Auburn. Obviously, we had some breaking news. Game added to the schedule before the SEC tournament. Was it March 7th, if I'm not mistaken?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Florida coming to town? Yes, because we went to the Swamp first, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so coming to town, Florida will be traveling to Knoxville March 7th. That'll be the last game. Kind of opens the door for now a possibility, especially since the Vols were able to get this win. You win out and have a couple things go your way. I'm not sure on the exact things that have to go your way, but for a possibility of a two-round bye in the SEC tournament, obviously. Actually, I'll ask this because this just popped into my head before we hit this break. If you're in the SEC championship, again, stick with me because a lot of things of what I say sound stupid at first, but I swear I have a point.
Okay.
If you're in the SEC tournament, because you are able to add these two games, now obviously you're going to want to win these games.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong. You want to win any game you play in.
Yeah.
But if you do lose one of these, in my opinion, I don't think it's the end of the world to not have that two-round bye. Because what we're using the tournament for, again, I say you obviously want to win whatever you're playing in. So you're going to want to win the SEC tournament. You're not going in to lose the tournament. You're going in to cut the nets. But we know how Tennessee's luck fares in the SEC tournament.
Sure.
You're going basically almost strictly for resume building.
Mm-hmm.
Would you take that two-round bye and go ahead and give a game away if you're going for that strictly resume building? Is it a big thing to get that two-round bye for you in the SEC tournament? Or now where we're at, where it's either you're a number five seed or a four seed, it doesn't really matter. We already played all of our cards. You make your bed, you lie in it type deal.
I would prefer the double bye just because I would like to try. I would still want to try and make the championship game. I would like to see us do it. And if you can make that run and go to the championship game, and hey, you know, crazier things have happened, mm-hmm. somehow win the SEC tournament championship, the motivation and the morale boost that would get and the confidence boost that would give this team, I think would be really, really, really big going into the tournament than just getting to the semifinal.
Go ahead.
It's not only that, like I agree on Tucker with, it's also the fact that if you were to not have the double bye, then your first round matchup, if you were to get upset, it's really bad for your resume. You're doing more damage than good that you could possibly do.
That was a point I was going to bring up. If you do not get that double round bye, you play the winner of South Carolina, Vanderbilt, which either of those teams, if they beat you or give you any game, it's embarrassing. So it's not really much of a resume builder to play that game. I can agree with that. Going off of that SEC tournament, and if we were able to string together some wins and win the SEC tournament, not only I agree with you, obviously, with all the points you made, correct points. I'm not disagreeing with you. But on top of those points of, yes, momentum, all of these things carrying in, it would also prove that these guys can string together some games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it would give you, not only the team, some momentum, the team, some confidence, the team, something to look forward to in March, but now it proves to us that, okay, we can go out there and play four straight basketball games against decent competition and play well in consistent games. And that's something that we've been looking for all season since we had that win streak that was sadly ended after conference play started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think these guys need to see themselves do something like that to show themselves that they can do that, because they've not been able to do that. I mean, the most wins they've had in a row are two.
Since conference play started.
Since we beat Arkansas, A&M, and then Vandy. That was the last three-game win streak that we had.
Was there a game postponed in between that, or did Vandy just get moved?
It was moved like 2 days.
Okay.
So there wasn't a loss in between. It was just...
It just got shifted down.
I think it got moved like 2 days or something like that.
And also, you hear commentators talk about it all the time, and I kind of want to talk about commentators and people getting mad on Twitter, because I don't know how commentators can win. It's just
different in today's time. For sure. I tried to craft the tweet last night in a way that made it sound like how I was trying to, but it's just much better to talk about.
I thought they did a decent job last night.
They do a decent job, but it just has to do, it's just different. Like, whenever they aren't there in person, it becomes more like a podcast.
It becomes them, they're
talking about the teams that are playing. They're not talking about the game that's being played.
Very fair.
And I think there may be a delay, or, you know, it's got to be tough.
Yeah.
And I'm not ragging on them, it's just different, because you end up having two people having a conversation while a dunk happens, mm-hmm. and neither of them mm-hmm. acknowledge it, and it's just a little strange.
I get that. It seems like they can't win, but we've heard commentators say it a million times. It's a cliche as old as time if you're a college basketball fan or even a basketball player or anything like that. Sometimes a guy just needs to see a shot go in. That's why sometimes you'll see a guy who's a three-point shooter who can't hit a shot attack the rim so he can go get some free throws mm-hmm. and see a shot go in. This team might just need to see something go their way.
Yes.
They might need to see a shot go in. We'll look forward to that. Break down the rest of the college basketball slate from last night. Also talk about some good games that are going to happen tonight. And talk about some Tennessee things, because obviously we want to break down Florida and Auburn as well. A lot of time to break those down. Talk about them tomorrow as well, but still want to do that anyways. We'll be right back after this break. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in, Fanner and Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Overtime rolling right along, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, breaking down the Tennessee game, talking about Tennessee v. Vandy. We broke all of that down in the first segment of Hour 1. If you missed any of that, or if you aren't listening right now and you missed any else of Hour 1, go ahead and check out the podcast. It'll be posted shortly after the show is completed. But get away from Tennessee. for a second. There were some other, not only in the SEC, which they had some big games in the SEC, but just some games in general. Two upsets that caught my eye. We'll go ahead and talk about the first one before we hit the SEC. NC State scores 68 and beats Virginia. Number 15, Virginia falls to 15-6, right around where Tennessee is, but they are 11-4 in ACC play. They get the loss last night, however, 68-61, and the Wolfpack improves to 11-9. Any worry for Tony Bennett and company going into March? I mean, it's always the same thing you say about Virginia. Can they win in these low-scoring games? You've seen they're the—I mean, they are technically the defending national champions. So technically, yes, they can win. But it's only happened once.
It's a different team. I don't think I don't have Virginia as one of my teams going.
I mean, they're always in the mix.
Sure, they'll
Virginia's
go to
like
the Sweet 16.
When we talk about Blue Bloods, there's been a lot of talk about Blue Bloods. There's six Blue Bloods if you Google it. But then, like, Virginia, Michigan State, and I think a lot of those teams kind of fall in that same gap of almost a blue blood, and Virginia is like that. They lose last night, however. But an upset in SEC play. The only bet you got wrong last night, and that's my fault. Hand up. Again, line play. Alabama falls, gets their second loss in SEC play. Sixth loss overall, losing 66-81. Arkansas improves to 18-5. Alabama falls to 18-6, no longer having the best record in SEC basketball. Arkansas Musselman, number 20 in the nation, getting that upset last night will improve them and probably rise them in the rankings. They're second in SEC right now, only 2.5 games back from Alabama. If Alabama slips up anymore, they could be risking that regular season title. Still 3 games left for Alabama, Mississippi State, Auburn, and Georgia left on their schedule. Anything from that game besides just the loss of money?
I mean, I made up for it with my other bet, so it didn't hurt as bad. It would have been nice to win that bet. I just, I could kind of tell early in the game it probably wasn't going to go well. And then Alabama had a little flash to end the second half. Mm-hmm. They cut it to 6 or 7, probably 6, and then had the lead for a time in the second half, and then just got boat raced in the last 10 minutes.
I'm going to tell you a stat that just broke my brain and see if it breaks y'all's.
Okay.
So, A, how many shots do you think Alabama shot last night? Not three-pointers, but just shots in general.
40.
They shot 69.
Whew.
They were 26 of 69, 37% from the field.
Golly.
How many out of 69 shots, how many do you think were three-pointers?
20.
I know. I read it this morning. I think it was 33.
It is 33. They were 11 of 33 from three-point range.
Look at their shot chart.
It's insane.
There's not a single mid-range jumper.
Now, but you want to know what's crazier than that? The stat that is crazier than Alabama's shooting stats.
What?
How many shots do you think Arkansas took this game?
35.
Took 54 shots.
Okay.
So a lot of shots were taken in this game.
Sure.
25 of 54.
Putting up shots.
Three-pointers, how many do you think they took out of 54 shots? How many three-pointers do you think Arkansas took? Not a three-point shooting team, so not a high number. I'm just going to go ahead and warn you. It's not a trick question.
15.
Took 14. Close. 4-14 from three-point range, 28.6. How many free throws do you think Arkansas attempted in this ballgame?
23.
43. They were 27 of 43 from the free throw line.
Moses Moody went 16 of 20, didn't he?
16 of 19 from the free throw line.
Okay, so maybe I am mad about losing this game. Whoa. Hold on.
Alabama had
How many did Alabama have?
Guess. Over under 10.
Sounds like an under.
8. They were 3 of 8 from the to be fair.
What is this home 30, cooking? 30,
33 three-pointers. You're not going to get fouled a lot on the three-pointers, but they still did take 69 shots. That's 36 other shots.
Nah, something's fishy here. 20? How many?
And they only got out-rebounded by 1, 39-38 on the boards.
Shot 43 free throws?
Personal
that is
fouls
atrocious.
Personal fouls for Alabama? 32.
Dear God.
Personal fouls for Arkansas? 18.
Oh, my. They called 32?
I believe Petty was ejected last night. Was he ejected or just fouled out? Do you know? Because I saw like them playing na-na-na, bye-bye.
I've got the box score pulled up. 5 gets you fouled out, right?
Yes.
They had 3 starters foul out.
Yep. Shackelford fouled out. Petty fouls out. I believe it was a technical foul that got him his 5th foul. I think he fouled and then got a technical foul on top of that, getting ejected. Arkansas plays the na-na-na, bye-bye song. This Alabama team, they got a little cold from three-point range. Now, besides all the stats and all the things I just threw at you.
I was playing 8-on-5. Garbage. Where's my money?
Do Eric Musselman and the Arkansas Razorbacks, do they have any shot at something in March? This is an athletic team.
I mean, if they can keep shooting 43 free throws a game, sure, they'll win. They'll win out and win the tournament. But that's the most. That's ridiculous.
Are you less mad at me for my bad pick?
Sure, you shot 62% from the free throw line and still hit 27. That's stupid. That's the dumbest stat I've ever seen.
They missed 24 free throws.
I'd like to see these fouls. I'd like to see
missed. You want to know something crazy? So 8 times 3 is 24, correct?
Sure. Yeah.
They missed 3 times as many free throws. They missed 3 times as many free throws as Alabama took. They missed 3 times the free throws as Alabama took.
That's a disgrace. Those refs need to be fired.
They took roughly 5.5 times the amount of free throws Alabama took.
No way they were fouling at that high of a rate.
What about this Alabama team? A lot of three-pointers going up. Obviously, if they fall, they fall. Yeah. We've seen that all season long.
They fell against us.
I mean, they put up, 29?
Something like
from
that,
three-point range against LSU,
like
scoring 100 and something. Mm-hmm. Like, this team can obviously fill it up. They're number 6 in the nation for a reason. They're not a bad basketball team at all. But does this game... Did we see something that might be shown in March? Obviously, again, besides the 43-8 free throws, not being able to shoot, will that catch up with you?
Eventually. It just depends on how often it's going to happen. I mean,
I think Alabama – go ahead.
In most cases, they can hit those shots, and they'll hit them at a decent clip. It's just they were cold, and it'll happen again. It's just matter of fact if their defense can hold the other team enough to where they will heat back up and actually can do something. Because otherwise, they'll get beat just like they did.
Alabama scored 66 points last night. That is their fewest points since their loss to Missouri, where they scored 65. If you hold this team under 60, when they get cold, they lose. Like Kentucky beat them by 73-71. Clemson beat them 64-56. Stanford beat them 82-64, obviously earlier in the season. Yeah. But if you hold this team... Yeah, I don't even think hold this team. If this team can't hit shots, they're not going to win this ball game. I think that's why they're going to be a popular pick come March Madness time to make a little bit of a run. But I think that they're going to be upset in an early round.
I could see it.
I can see
especially
them also
if they
being
get paired with a mid-major that can shoot just as well as they can.
Yes. Or if they go cold one game. It takes is one game. That's how March Madness works. All it takes is one game. Mm-hmm. And who knows? Maybe they could be like that 2019 Buck Pearl team that went to the Final Four for Auburn with Jared Harper, Spencer Brown, or Bryce Brown maybe, and was just a three-point shooting juggernaut, and then the one game they went cold was the Final Four. But they were hot all the way leading up to the Final Four, and that's where they were able to make – their name. They were able to do that. Maybe this team makes that run, but I just do not trust them in March because all it takes is one night of bad shooting and this team is out of contention. Folger, you said you got trivias for us next?
Yes.
Sounds good. I'm excited.
Do we have a category?
Questions.
Love it.
What about answers?
Tucker will rage at.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yep.
If you get mad,
but
you can just leave.
Here's the thing. No, here's the thing. I'm having a good day. So I'm going to stay right here. I'm having a fine day, a good day, a great day.
Cool.
I'm not going anywhere.
We'll see.
It's time for some trivia. I'm excited. Folky taking it upon himself to do some trivia today. Writing some questions down. I'm excited for it. We're live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, though. White Claw Hard Seltzer is crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of fruit flavor. And they're only 100 calories. Now available in 8 refreshing flavors, including fresh watermelon, sweet tangerine, and juicy lemon. Each one with a wave of pure refreshment. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly. Folky.
Yes.
Let us know what that category is, my good sir.
Yes. So I will name a player.
Okay.
And you guys have to tell me who drafted that player.
From all sports, what are we talking here?
Alex chose to go with football.
I did not choose.
So we are going to go with football.
Do you have other sports ready as well?
I do not.
Okay.
Because Alex chose football.
I did not choose it.
That was 2 seconds before we came in.
He chose football. I heard him.
Okay.
No, you weren't. You were on your phone. You weren't paying attention at all.
I was listening.
Let's get right into it.
The first individual, Brandon Marshall.
Jets.
Who drafted Brandon?
San Francisco 49ers.
Denver Broncos.
It is the Denver Broncos. Not necessarily.
I was in the wrong conference.
Where he was best at, but
I saw him in a Jets uniform immediately and just couldn't remember where he got drafted. I was like, I know for a fact he played there, though.
It's not a bad guess.
Yeah.
The next athlete, Drew Brees.
San Diego Chargers.
That was me.
Los Angeles Chargers.
I said San Diego. I'd put out the full name, location.
I said Chargers first, though. How many other Chargers are there in the NFL?
Well, there's one that doesn't exist.
There's still the Chargers.
Los Angeles Chargers, final
still
answer.
Still the branding.
Well, he was drafted by San Diego. They were in San Diego.
The brand is still...
Purdue Boilermakers, final answer.
I said Chargers first.
I'm going to give this one to Tucker.
Boom.
That's BS. I was saying San Diego Chargers, and then he just came in. Chargers!
Well, that's okay if you don't like it.
You could have just given it to me and prevented controversy.
Nah, I don't care about that.
Sorry.
You all right over there?
Yeah. Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
We'll get to the bottom of this mystery later.
I don't know what mystery that is, but all right.
So confused.
You just have a drink sitting right here.
Oh, yeah, I know what happened to it.
Okay, I know. One of these, whatever, who cares. Keep going.
The next one.
What are you talking about?
One of these.
Who drafted
what happened?
T. Martin?
Pittsburgh Steelers.
That is correct.
Brady Six. Sorry, I know that. I
had no idea.
It's a good documentary. Talks about the six quarterbacks drafted before Brady. Some Hofstra quarterback was drafted by the 49ers, I believe.
In 2018, who drafted Tennessee running back John Kelly?
The Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know who said
that. I meant the Rams.
The Los Angeles Rams. He got Rams out first, so if you want Rams, go with him. I got Los Angeles Rams out first.
I just said Rams.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Tucker got it.
You think Tucker got it?
It was Rams. I said
you
first.
Said Rams first. I said the full team name first. So
who started first?
Technically, I think I did.
I don't know. I said Rams.
He definitely said the Rams first.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to go with team name.
Hoagie, I need you to start putting your foot down. Like, if you're gonna be a trivia host, you got to be the host. You can't just
host
be a trivia guy.
Josh Malone.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes.
I didn't even hear the name.
Josh Malone.
Mm. I heard Josh Malone.
I heard Post Malone, and I thought he doesn't play in the league.
Well,
doing a hoodie cover. No. I only want to be with you.
Calais.
Amazing.
That was if it was Oasis did it.
Campbell.
Calais Campbell.
Arizona
Jaguars.
Cardinals.
What'd you say, Will?
I said Jaguars. It's not right.
Neither of those are correct.
Ravens.
That is correct.
Huh. I didn't know that.
Vince Wilfork.
Patriots.
That is correct.
I thought that was going to be a trick question.
I did too. Yeah. I was just like, I'm pretty sure he went to the Patriots, but I don't know.
This one. Janoris Jenkins.
I don't even know where he
Rams.
Played college.
Who?
Rams.
Which one?
Los Angeles? Or St. Louis?
Wait, if no one else is racing him.
I was just seeing if he pulled it. Just seeing if he remembered the St. Louis part.
Sorry.
What about... Oh, I actually don't know.
Are you just going through NFL players now and just asking?
That's what I've been doing the whole time.
Fair enough. So you were genuinely waiting for one person to choose a sport?
Yeah.
Okay.
Keenan Allen.
Chargers?
Yeah. Yeah, he still plays there.
Are you going to give us some trick questions like Drew Brees, or is it just going to be straight where he's
totally... I already asked you Drew Brees.
Trick questions like Drew Brees.
Such as?
Well, that wouldn't be much.
That's
up
to you,
that's
up
players,
to you
Mr. Trivia.
You,
I'm
Trivia
not
going to
do that because you're thinking it right now.
No, players who have played for like multiple teams.
Montario Hardesty.
I recognize that name.
You see, that's too
Bills?
Old for me. I wasn't into NFL.
2010.
Patriots?
Mm-mm. Running back for Tennessee.
Yeah, I know. I don't remember where he got drafted, though, because it wasn't early. I don't think.
Second round.
Bengals.
Right state.
The memory
Cleveland Browns.
It is the Cleveland Browns.
He said Wright State.
The memory
yeah,
of Montario.
Whenever I heard Wright State, I heard Wright State as in
oh,
the
college.
And I was
that
like,
is in Ohio.
And I was like, what the hell is he talking about?
He went to Tennessee.
Should have said correct state.
Very sorry about
so
it.
So as to not be confusing.
I have no memory of Montario Hardesty.
You don't remember Montario Hardesty?
No. I recognize his name. Good.
He trounced South Carolina 1 year. Montario Hardesty was, I think, Dooley's first year.
Yeah. Drafted in 10? Timeline adds up a little bit. 08 would have been right around there, right?
08 was, he was drafted in 2010, so.
08, 09 is right around there, yeah.
Yeah, he was in that changing of the guard. He went through a lot of stuff.
You going football still?
Yeah.
You know who was the Niners wide receiver coach?
The last one.
Charlotte 49ers.
Who drafted Carlos Hyde?
Oh, San Francisco 49ers, final answer.
That's correct.
I love El Guapo. I love El Guapo.
I meant to say Steelers, which is also wrong. Which is also wrong.
I love Carlos Hyde, dude. That run against Iowa was one of my favorite runs I've ever seen. It was Iowa, right? The hurdle kept his balance, then dove into the end zone.
Yeah.
I thought he was the next big thing. I really did. I was so excited.
Is he not?
I mean, he's good. Don't get me wrong, but I thought he was going to be like a Derrick Henry, Ezekiel Elliott type level player.
Sure.
I was excited. Speaking of being excited, I'm excited to kick off hour two next. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Hour two kicking off right now, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Fulkerson, Alex Comas in the studio with you guys. Studio being the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Top 10 matchup getting underway right now, and we haven't even talked about it yet. So let's get right into it. Quick sprint through a couple of games left on the slate. Then I guess we'll be done with basketball because there was some NFL news that I want to talk about. Some funny things coming out of the world of J.J. Watt. Some people changing profile pictures and doing some Photoshops and things. Taylor Lewan had a very funny Instagram post I want to talk about as well. Before we get into any NFL stuff, let's talk about this top 10 matchup. Number 3, 16-1, 11-1 in Big Ten play. Michigan going up against Iowa right now. Number 9 in the nation, Iowa. 17-6 overall, 11-5 in Big Ten play right now. I believe we're on delay, but I believe Michigan is up 4-0, if I'm not mistaken. Two teams, obviously, that are going to have, I don't want to say have, but are hoping to have deep March Madness runs. Two teams that look poised to have deep March Madness runs. How are we feeling about this game, Alex? You're my basketball guy.
Do not direct that question.
You're my Big Ten basketball guy mainly.
Yeah. It's a big game. Iowa, I wouldn't want to say that they're out of the Big Ten championship picture, so they kind of need to win out if they do wish to win out the Big Ten. However, Michigan's in pole position right now to win out the Big Ten regular season title.
Everyone's real close, neck and neck. Illinois only one game back, technically, even though they have four losses, only one game back out of first place. Ohio State only one and a half games back, and Iowa sitting right underneath them at two games back.
Yeah, it'll be interesting how Michigan, if they're able to hold on with all the games that they had to reschedule, and if the Big Ten ends up rescheduling those games that they had postponed when they had a coronavirus outbreak within their program.
Do you think Michigan got, I don't want to say lucky because it seems inappropriate to say lucky when you're talking about a COVID outbreak, but some schools haven't had to play as many games as others, and when you are trying to get that number one seed, it's probably better to not play games if you are already winning all of them. You're 16-1. If I'm Michigan, I'd rather not play games than play games, because if you play a game, you're more likely to use it. Like we saw Roy Williams, one of the quotes of the century last night, talking about the loss to Marquette, saying, if I knew we were going to lose this game, I wouldn't have scheduled it. And if I knew we were going to beat the Lakers, I'd play the Lakers tomorrow. Like, if you're Michigan, do you think you got a little bit of a break because of those COVID things? Obviously, it's all shifted to the end of the season, but who knows what that middle of the season would have looked like if they didn't have such time off. Same with Baylor. Baylor had a lot of time off. Obviously, Baylor is legit. We've seen that. But they were at one point talked about maybe being doubted because they had so much time off.
Yeah, I don't think necessarily that it's a benefit for teams when they have an outbreak, because we've seen it go both ways where teams coming off an outbreak are poorer, because if it's so rampant among your program, maybe guys are still dealing with the fatigue of coming off the virus and everything and recovering from it. So it's not necessarily a benefit. However, for Michigan, it sort of has worked as a benefit, so I agree on that standpoint from Michigan. It seems as though they've gotten even better coming off of the outbreak, because before I thought it was they were a bit flaky. I thought eventually they would fall off, and
especially
having,
with how much freshman they have, freshman talent they have.
Yes, but they have a good grad transfer in Mike Smith. They have Mo Wagner's brother, Franz Wagner, I believe is his first name. I thought they had some talented pieces, but they were, like you said, a little bit young in some areas, especially at center with Dickinson, who's a freshman. And I thought eventually once they would hit kind of the middle of Big Ten play, you would see the real Michigan. But then the outbreak prevented you from seeing that. But now, as you're going to see on the back end of the season, they're going to have to play a lot of games in a lot of days to make up that schedule. So it'll be interesting to see how they adjust. However, so far, they haven't faltered one bit.
Only losing to Minnesota, but Minnesota I don't believe was a rescheduled game or anything. That was just a game you play. You play the games you play. I mean, Iowa probably be close in the same boat if they had that same style of break, obviously, because their losses have come in the middle of this season. But then I agree with your point of talking about other teams who have kind of been able to bounce back from COVID, such as the Gonzaga team that was able to beat Iowa by a lot. They were coming off of a two-week break because they weren't able to play their first two games of the season, coming into then taking care of business against Iowa. So it'll be interesting. Illinois playing Nebraska. Western Kentucky, Houston is a good game. 15-4, Western Kentucky. They're going to be a hard out in that tournament, and we all know about Houston. I mean, Folky, you're a big Houston guy. You're a Cougar guy, right?
Yeah.
You love Cougars, or the Cougars, Houston. And they are 18-3. They look like they could be balling. They're undefeated. Went at home, and they're in your Final Four. Western Kentucky is a good team, though, as well, so it's going to be interesting to see how this game plays out right now, 11-9 in that one. And, Folky, I bring you up because your Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yes.
Traveling to the Breslin Center. Tucker, who plays in the Breslin Center?
We asked you
yesterday. I'm aware. It is.
Who's Ohio State playing?
I'm aware. No, it's
Michigan State.
It is Michigan State, East Lansing.
Thanks, man.
3.5.
No, I was going to get it.
3.5 favorites is Ohio State. 145, the over-under. Folky.
Yeah.
I know you're not the biggest college basketball guy, but 18-5, 12-5 in Big Ten play, looking ahead to maybe a one seed. What's the vibe? What's the pulse of Buckeye Nation saying right now down this stretch, especially after coming off of not a bad loss, obviously because it's Michigan, but a loss that leaves a sour taste in your mouth nonetheless.
Yeah, you never want to lose to Michigan. I'd say Columbus is still very excited because at least I did not expect our basketball team to be this good at all, but rocking and rolling, number one seed. Too bad we lost to Michigan, though.
True.
That is tough.
I would rather we lost every game but beat Michigan.
Wow.
Ohio State's hard to get a rating on, because like, when you look at their games, they only beat Notre Dame by 5, and Notre Dame is not a very strong opponent, in my opinion. And then they lose to Purdue, who has had an off year this year, by 7, but then beat UCLA, who's not a terrible team, by 7. Those are all within the span of a week. And then you lose to Rutgers, 80-68, or beat Rutgers, 80-68, my apologies, and then lose to Northwestern the next game by 1 point, then bounce back and destroy Nebraska, but then lose to Minnesota by 17. It's just a very up-and-down team. I mean, lost the season series with Purdue, and then went on a win streak before losing to Michigan. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can bounce back tonight against Michigan State. Alex, you got any take on Michigan State versus Ohio State besides just the fact that it's, I mean, Tom Izzo, Michigan State trying to make a push to the postseason?
Yeah, they've been hot recently, and definitely Ohio State will be on watch for that because Michigan State, like you said, is trying to make a push for the tournament. Ohio State's coming off the loss to Michigan. This is an opportunity for them to bounce back. But this is an opportunity for Michigan State to pounce on an Ohio State team for the first time in a while, had lost the game. And, you know, you make it 2 for them, possibly. So I still think Ohio State gets through on this simply because they've been a very talented team this season. I was surprised that they lost to Michigan. I thought they would win that game. So I think they get back on track and beat Michigan State. And, unfortunately, I think Michigan State's bid to make a tournament run will end, if not tonight, in the future games, because I just ultimately think they're not the Michigan State that we know. It's been a down year for them. They don't have nearly as much talent as they've had in previous years. I agree. So I think, like many blue bloods, the season they're going to be out of the tournament.
It's going to be interesting, though, because when you look at the standings in the Big Ten, you have Michigan State. So I'll go ahead and just kind of – Michigan's number one, obviously. Illinois, Ohio State, Iowa, Purdue, Wisconsin, Rutgers is kind of that cutoff line of where you're going to see those pretty solid teams. And then it kind of hits Maryland, Indiana, Michigan State, Minnesota, all in that one giant bunch. Out of Maryland, Indiana, and Minnesota, Michigan State still has to play Maryland and Indiana left on the schedule, plus two games against Michigan. And they're ahead of Minnesota in the rankings by one by 0.5 games, 6-9 in Big Ten play. Minnesota's 6-10 Big Ten play. If they get the win tonight, they can give a little bit of separation between Minnesota and themselves. Out of those four teams, Maryland, Indiana, Michigan State, Minnesota, which team would you rather see in the tournament?
If I was like a Tennessee?
Just in general. Just pure fan-wise, if you are on the selection
Sunday
committee, sure, whatever you want. Just in your opinion, because I think we all are going to have different opinions. My opinion, I'd rather see Michigan State. I think Tom Izzo is a fantastic coach. I think he's the best coach out of all the blue blood schools. I think that's why you're able to see him be leading this team to maybe a postseason run. I think he's that level of coach that can win ball games just from the coaching position alone. I'd rather see Michigan State, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you that Izzo may be able to pull a rabbit out of a hat compared to an Archie Miller, compared to a Patino at Minnesota or Turgeon at Maryland.
And it's January, February, Izzo, April, May. Like, that's how it goes. Like, he is the March coach. It wouldn't feel right not seeing Tom Izzo in March.
Yep.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting, though. I mean, just some good basketball down the stretch is going to have to be played overall. A good game in the Pac-12 tonight. I know we call it a cupcake conference, but a big matchup tonight. Live from Boulder, Colorado, number 19, USC, 19-4, traveling to 17-7 Colorado, who's impressed a lot of people. They're a 3.5 favorite tonight, Colorado is, over the 19th-ranked Trojans. Regardless of cupcake division or not, those are two good teams out of the Pac-12. This is going to be a pretty impactful game. I like Colorado. I mean, I don't know why they're favored, but that makes me want them even more just because Arkansas screwed me last night with that pure line play. I like Colorado in this one. I've been on Colorado since the beginning of the season. It was orange-tinted glasses trying to hype up our opponent going into the game of like, this Colorado seems good. They're going to be a 9 seed, I promise. And now I was right, and so I like Colorado. I also just like Colorado. It's a cool place.
I'll take USC in this one.
Fair enough. Tucker, who's the player from USC who's the National Player of the Year finalist, I guess you could say?
Evan.
It's correct, Evan.
It's Evan.
It is Evan.
Mobley.
Mobley is correct. Think of the Jungle Book.
Yeah,
Mobley. Yeah. Evan Mobley is correct. We'll hit a quick break. Be right back. Don't go anywhere. We'll continue to break down some college basketball, probably talk some NFL, and really whatever we want. We'll be right back. Welcome back in. Fender Radio, Fox Sports in Knoxville, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour 2 rolling right along. Killing it here. We're destroying it. Burning it down. Going crazy.
We're doing it.
That's what we do, man.
It is us.
That's what we do here.
That is what we do.
You enjoying betting on basketball?
I sure have, yeah.
I figured.
I've enjoyed
it. You've been making some good money off.
I've been making decent money.
I feel like I've made you probably, give or take, $10.
Maybe.
A couple of times you've gone against me, and I could have made you money. And then a couple of times I might have cost you money. So we'll call it even. But also,
fair.
What are some things you love about basketball betting? Like, is it the way you're always able to find new player props and game props?
That is, yeah.
Or what about the fact that you can combine all of those props from the same game and put them into a thing called a same game parlay and get the most bang for your buck?
I like that.
You like that? I like that too.
I do like that a lot.
It's called the same game parlay bet, and you only find them on FanDuel. Player point total, rebounds, assist, money lines, over-unders, point spreads, anything you can dream of coming from the same game, you can put it all in a parlay. And right now, new and existing users, you heard that right, new and existing users can get up to $25 back every day if your parlay falls one leg short with that same game parlay insurance. You heard that right. Every day, new and existing users can get $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short, not a parlay. That's why we bet on FanDuel. They have the easy-to-use app, fast withdrawal times, odd boosts and specials on every day, and big boost on the weekends, live betting, really anything you can dream of. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and then use the promo code OVERTIME at sign up. Try out that same game parlay. Once again, that's promo code OVERTIME, all caps, one word. You must be 21 or older, present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. You been keeping an eye on any NFL stuff?
Not a lot, to be honest with you.
Fair enough.
Just have it, you know? I mean, I've been keeping up with, like, quarterbacks, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I have...
Did you hear about the news today? About quarterbacks?
I don't know, Will. Is that what you were about to talk about?
I was just bringing up the NFL in general because I had to burp, but yes, that's what I was about to talk about.
Yeah. I noticed that Cordarrelle Patterson is attempting to recruit. He's changed his profile picture on Twitter.
Sure, playing with Cordarrelle Patterson will really bring a quarterback in.
I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson is probably the greatest return man in NFL history.
That would be Devin Hester.
He actually has better stats than Devin Hester.
I mean, statistically wise, but I'm not going to pretend that watching Cordarrelle Patterson is more fun than watching Devin Hester
and
ever was.
And Cordarrelle Patterson did it in his career after they changed it to where there was shorter kickoffs, so the defense, you know, was closer to him. He did it after the
wedge. I'll give him a top five.
He did it after the wedge was outlawed, which Hester had a majority of his kickoff returns was before the wedge was banned. After the wedge was banned, Devin Hester had like one kick return.
Regardless of anything, you cannot argue. You can argue statistics all day, but we cannot. I can't listen to an argument of Cordarrelle Patterson being more fun to watch than Devin Hester. I can give Cordarrelle Patterson top five return stats, all of those things. But
one in stats.
No, I'm saying, but you do have to add in that fun factor as well. Patterson's not fun to watch running.
Why? He can get horizontal.
Because he's tall. You make him look slower. Like, that's just pure science. It's like wearing white cleats. You look faster. Like, he just looks slow running the football. He's not as fun and as exciting as a Devin Hester taking it to the house on the opening kickoff of the Super Bowl.
Sure.
But Deshaun Watson has met with the new Texans head coach, David Culley. He met with him last Friday, and according to sources, informed Culley that he has no intention of suiting up for the team again. Upset over the way the organization has prepared and operated over the recent years, Watson has asked the Texans to trade him and has had very little contact with the team since the season ended. Conversation with Culley is believed to have been the first between the two. Culley said in his introductory press conference that he expected Watson to be on the team in 2021. According to sources, Watson's message to Culley in Friday's meeting was that nothing has changed on his end and he would still like to be traded. So far, the Texans have told interested teams that they do not intend to trade Watson, who just last summer signed a four-year, $156 million contract extension that runs through the year 2025. Trading Watson would cost the Texans $21.6 million in dead money in next year's salary cap, a significant hit since his cap number is just $15.94 million if he is able to remain on the team. Is anybody going to win this lottery? Or does it look like the Texans are just going to play their cards and if they're going to screw themselves over, they're going to screw themselves over with the least amount of money possible.
I mean, I don't know how they intend to keep him on the team. Like, I think that money is going to be dead regardless. Like, he can sit out, right? He can just decide not to play.
So either,
something out of it. Like, try to get assets because he won't play.
That's fair. But
he does not want to play for Houston.
His assets for Deshaun Watson, getting rid of Deshaun Watson and having to play him, if depending on where you trade him, obviously,
sure.
Is that plus assets worth, in your opinion, saving $6 million, give or take? I'm not doing math exactly right because it's like 15.9 to 21.6 or something like that, but around $6 million.
Okay.
Do you think you would be able to get assets?
Yes.
Worth $6 million plus getting rid of Deshaun Watson and having to play him from somebody?
Yeah, probably. You could probably do that.
Fair enough.
Don't trade him in division. and you're fine. You have to play them once every, like, 4 years, as long as it's not in the postseason.
I'm trying to find something.
It's just, I mean...
I lost the tweet I was going
to
read.
The problem is that I would understand if they're trying to save money because they are, like, they're still confident in their... in building a contender and building a playoff worthy team.
Mm-hmm.
But when you release JJ Watt the way you did, clearly you're going through a rebuild. Clearly with the front office moves you've made, you're going to be going through a rebuild.
Yeah, for sure.
So why are you going to hold a guy hostage and make it a bad look for your organization rather than eating that money on a year in which you know you're not going to be good? Yeah. And you're not going to be spending it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to trade him. I mean, there's no way around it. Like, when a guy is this adamantly, like, wants to be traded, there's really no reality that he's going to be on your team. Like, you can't force a guy to play for you.
I mean especially not in Houston.
You don't have to pay him. Like, I mean, I don't think he would get paid if he sat out, right? I don't know how that works.
He gets fined if he sits out.
But he'll still get paid.
I don't think he cares.
So he'll come out of his pocket, but I mean,
I don't think they get paid.
If you don't play?
Yeah.
I mean, he has to get like he has to get at least his guaranteed money.
The NFL has made it to where they do everything possible to not let players sit out contracts.
But regardless, he signed that extension. He has to get his guaranteed money from it, and I mean, you're going to be costing yourself money regardless if you're the Texans. So it's just the question of, can you get $6 million worth of assets, basically?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe even more than $6 million because you are getting rid of Deshaun Watson as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe more like $8 million, $10 million evaluation.
By telling teams that, hey, we're going to have to pay $6 million more if we were to trade him, it seems like more of an incentive to get even more out of a trade. That's a way in which you could wager with guys like, hey, going to need more than that because we're eating this money.
They would not be putting a lot of this out there if they weren't playing ball type deal. Switching gears, though, from Deshaun Watson to other Houston Texans looking to land in a new place. We're talking about J.J. Watt yesterday and talking about the three teams or maybe five teams we were all dying to discussing where he could go. Got a Taylor Lewan Instagram post I just wanted to read to you guys because I thought it was pretty funny.
Okay.
Taylor Lewan post on Instagram, two pictures of him and J.J. Watt playing together. Quote, caption reads, at J.J. Watt, I'm stupid, you're smart. I was wrong. You were right. You're the best. I'm the worst. You're good looking. I'm not attractive. Let's just be teammates and move forward. Hashtag selling out. Hashtag for the boys? Question mark. Hashtag Titans. Making a pretty good case. There's been a lot of people doing a lot of things on social media. It's not the first time, but it's now becoming more and more of a common practice over the offseason of seeing guys using social media platforms to reach out to guys, as everyone should.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's funny, but more on the J.J. Watt news obviously to come, but has anything changed in y'all's opinion from one day to the next about J.J. Watt and where he could possibly end up?
I really don't know where he's going to end up. I mean, I don't think it'll stray from the list that we talked about yesterday. I think it's probably going to end up being one of those. The Titans very well get him. I don't know. There's not a whole lot of smoke to that. I mean, because there's...
And even then, during the offseason, sometimes when there's smoke, there's not fire.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
we saw that with Trevor Bauer this year.
I won't be convinced he's playing somewhere.
Sorry.
You know, I won't be convinced of where he's playing until he is in the uniform.
Even then, that can be photoshopped. I don't even know if I'll believe it until
That's
I
true.
See it on Sunday.
Well, there is the news that came out that apparently he hasn't... The biggest offer he has is one that's ranging from, I think it was $15 to $16 million a year. And now yesterday we were talking about J.J. Watt to the Titans, and you said you wouldn't dish out the money for him. You don't think he's worth it.
Depending on what the money was, but yes.
Yeah, so $15 to $16 million, would it be worth it for the Titans?
It's interesting you ask that, because before I answer that, I'm going to quickly talk about this and then answer that question, because this ties in. Tennessee Titans have released Adam Humphries, the wide receiver. This is as of 4:39 p.m. Eastern time, Nashville, Tennessee. Titans have waived former – where do you play college ball?
Don't care.
Adam Humphries.
Miami.
Think of Hunter Renfro. It's the same player.
Clemson.
It is Clemson. It's the exact same player. I think that's right.
Point for me.
but they've waived Adam Humphries in a move that would save around $4.47 million in cap space. So if we're able to make more moves like that, yes. But in terms of having to build around things, again, if J.J. Watt wants to come here, You don't tell them no, but in terms of like making the biggest case possible, $50 million's worth it. The more I try to talk myself out of it, the more I'm talking myself into it. J.J. Watt is that level player, regardless of how many years you get him. He's an instant impact and an instant improvement. I mean, you see that John Robinson knows what he's doing. I mean, obviously this season didn't work out the greatest, but he kind of knows what he's doing in terms of moving pieces, where you look at the breaking news today that Jarrell Casey was released from the Broncos, and he got rid of him a year. Perfect timing. Like, he got rid of him the year right before, and now he's no longer on a team. Looks like he was able to read into that. Now, some other moves haven't worked out. Hopefully J.J. Watt wouldn't be like that, but I think any team would be willing to have J.J. Watt on their team if they're able to pay him. That being said, yes, I think if the Titans are able to pay him, pay him. Pay the man his money.
Now, Folky, do you care how much the Browns would pay J.J. Watt to bring him in?
To a degree, yeah.
So 15 to 16, would you be okay with?
I don't know exactly what our cap room looks like right now, but yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay.
I think that the Browns are less, I don't want to say, the way I phrase this is going to make me sound like an idiot and put my foot in my mouth, so I'm trying to be careful, but I think the Titans on offense, obviously, I think have a little bit more pieces and a little bit more strength, but on defense, the Titans are not just pieces away. The whole defense as a whole really needs reshaping. It's only a couple of key pieces you would really be willing to keep. And I think vice versa on the Browns, there's only a couple pieces you'd be really wanting to give away. You don't want to get rid of a lot of your guys, but Sendejo, I know you're willing to get rid of. There's players like that where you're willing to move around with. I don't know, I think the Titans have the best case just because that's their most desperate need, even though they need everything at defense. And you still got Myles Garrett, man. Like, let us have this one. Come on.
Yeah.
Myles Garrett and J.J. Watt would be disgusting, it would. Though.
For 2021.
We wouldn't even need a secondary.
For 2021, probably, the Cleveland.
Run punt block every time.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns have $25 million in cap room for 2021. The Tennessee Titans have $1.2 million. But that could be up to
some stuff.
That could be up to five now that with the Adam Humphries move, you save $4 million.
And there's still
there.
Going to be plenty of offseason moves we see, obviously. Depending on how much money you owe Isaiah Wilson and things like that, how much money is owed to Vic Beasley or how much money Vic Beasley should owe us, different things like that. It's going to be interesting to see. Hit a quick break, come back, talk a little bit more NFL, maybe some other things. I don't know. We'll find something to talk about. Don't go anywhere. Overtime continues. Welcome back in, Fan and Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Fulgerson, Alex Comas in the studio with you guys, talking about some college basketball, talking about some NFL, just bouncing around, having fun.
Having a grand old time.
So what we do here, man.
Having a great day. Feeling good. Ain't that right, Alex? You feel good? You feeling great? You feeling fantastic?
Feeling all right.
You know what? You're not giving me the energy I'm used to.
Like
I'm
I said,
about
I'm tired, man.
Okay, it's fine. It's fine to be tired.
You know who else is tired?
But it's okay to not be okay sometimes. You can
Who's
talk
tired?
To us.
It's a quote from Addison Rae. I almost forgot her name.
Is it? Who is that?
It's Addison Rae, man.
Madison Rae?
Addison Rae.
Is that... She's a TikToker, isn't she?
I was doing a joke, and it just did not go over well because I forgot I'm doing
was.
A show with 30-year-olds.
Yeah, I don't.
She tweets out she's a famous TikToker who just
right.
steals.
Okay, so she is a TikToker.
Yeah, she steals.
Yeah, I don't know.
She steals inspirational quotes like that
right.
all the time, and then
we'll
just tweets
them
out.
I think someone else said that.
A lot of people have said that. That was the joke. Is she will tweet it out, and then people will be like, "Oh my God, you were so You were so good with words. Like, why are you not a poet?
It's
oh,
not wow. people. It's kids.
Children.
My yeah. apologies. My apologies. I see
yes.
them as equals because they are equals.
Yes.
Yes, they
I
are.
Don't know.
I'm a child, so they are an equal to me.
Focus
Seattle.
12, so.
Yes.
Seattle. Seahawks.
He's very mature for his age, though.
He is.
Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson has not demanded a trade. His agent Mark Rogers
cool
told ESPN's Adam Schefter on Thursday. Rogers said, Wilson has told Seattle he wants to play in Seattle, but if a trade were to be considered, there are only a few teams he'd want to go to. You want to take a crack at him? There's only one AFC team. The rest are NFC teams. So one AFC team.
I mean,
it's the AFC West.
I've seen a few of them.
AFC West, one AFC team in the AFC West. Where does he want to go in the AFC West?
Well, in the AFC West, the only team that he really could go to would be like the Chargers. Or not. No, they got Herbert.
The Chiefs?
Denver?
The Chiefs?
It's not Denver.
Oakland?
Is it the Chiefs?
Well,
Las Vegas.
It is Las Vegas. Yeah. Raiders are the only AFC team on his list.
I would like him to stay out of the AFC West. I would very much appreciate if he skibopped on to Chicago.
What about the three other?
I'm all right. He's a little old.
He said he only wants to be traded to three other NFC teams besides the Raiders. And all of them are outside.
But weren't the Jets on the list? Because you said one AFC team, and I thought the Jets were on there.
I'm reading the only teams he considered would be four teams, and one of them is an AFC team. The rest three are NFC teams. None in the NFC West where he's already at. You got one from each other conference. Anybody want to try to take some shots at him?
It's the Bears.
Bears are one of them.
I would love
Saints are the other one.
If he goes to the Bears, I think the Bears win a Super Bowl in the next 3 years. Plays for three more years.
I mean, they'd have to win it within the next two because their defense will only be together for so long.
They got young pieces to that defense, though. It's going to be interesting who they're able to keep and who they have to get rid of. But, like, Eddie Jackson isn't that old. Keem Hicks isn't terrible. Roquan Smith isn't that old. Like, there's some young talent there.
Contracts expire.
For sure. It's just going to be interesting to see who they're able to keep and who – Moneyball is always interesting to see what's played. So Saints and the Bears are the other two. What's the last team?
Unfortunately, the Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys are unfortunately the last team.
That would be tough for you.
I said earlier, I told Draven Fine I would have to block him. His phone number, his social media, I'd have to block him if Russell Wilson went to the Cowboys. It would be.
I mean, how much better could. Obviously, Dak got injured this year, but Dak was on pace for one of the greatest quarterback seasons we've ever seen.
Russell Wilson.
How much better could. How
Russell
much?
Wilson.
But how? Wilson. I'm not saying who could be better. How much better could Russell Wilson be? Because Dak was already on pace for being the greatest quarterback in the time.
Okay, but the thing is, how's Dak gonna be when he comes back?
No.
He just had like a compound fracture.
It's true.
It was disgusting.
It's true.
Like, I doubt he'll be 100% this coming season. He probably won't be 100% for 2 years.
It also depends on the health of the Cowboys' offensive line because this year they were battered by injuries, so they're gonna need to make some additions there. As far as stabilizing it in case they run to injuries again, as well as they lost some key pieces due to retirement, like Travis Frederick. So
one thing, though, I mean, Russell Wilson is good at – I mean, he runs for his life in Seattle. So I'm like,
I mean, Dak was running too, but it just wasn't working because the offensive line was just falling apart.
I don't think he needs to go to Dallas. That's not
– It seems like a very – you're going downhill if you're going to Dallas.
Which is just if he gets traded, if he was a free agent. Man, if I'm a quarterback right now, I'm going to the Bears. If I'm a quarterback of Russell Wilson's talent, I'm going to the Bears. You got Allen Robinson.
Can you trust their management, though?
Oh, he's a free agent this year. I forgot.
Can you trust their management?
I forgot he's coming to Kansas City. I forgot about that. He's probably not coming to Kansas City.
There's no way you have money to pay for him.
You sign Russell Wilson, you could probably sign Allen Robinson.
They wouldn't be signing Allen Robinson. They'd be trading for him.
I'm talking about if you're the Bears and you sign Russell Wilson.
You're not signing him.
You don't think so? Okay, if you get Russell Wilson on your team.
You trade for him.
If you trade for, okay, but then what, like, okay, whatever. Then he would become a Chicago Bear. Allen Robinson probably signs, comes back.
Yeah, he'd be willing to.
Be the way to keep him.
Question is if the Bears would be willing to pay the money.
I don't think the question. I mean,
yes, you
think
have
the Bears.
To pay
I think the Bears would be
he
willing
would be
to pay
their
the
best
money.
Option. But it's as far as weapons, if you were to compare weapons that Russell Wilson had in Seattle and Chicago, that's a downgrade, is it not?
I mean, anything's going to be a downgrade from Seattle besides, I think, 10 to 15 teams. Like
New Orleans, I don't think it's a downgrade.
I mean, Michael Thomas is Mr. Slant. He didn't have a good year this year. Who knows what year he's going to have next year.
Yeah, but Breeze's bum shoulder didn't really help a whole lot with that.
But are we going to pretend that Russell Wilson is the strongest arm? I mean, he's a...
He can still throw it downfield.
They also have Alvin Kamara in the backfield.
I agree with that. But you also... David Montgomery stepped up, but they're also getting back Tyreek Cohen. They're getting back some guys they lost to injury from the beginning of the season. We're able to turn some other guys into key pieces. I mean, they were running Cordell Patterson at running back this year. It's going to be interesting to see what pieces they get back and what pieces they're able to keep. I don't know. It's just going to be an interesting setup. My only problem, if I was Russell Wilson or any quarterback in general, yes, the Bears look like a fun destination. I love the city of Chicago. I think bringing a championship to there would be fun for the first time since 85. But at the same time, can you trust Pace and can you trust Nagy? Like, they have made such bad decisions so far since their time has been there. Would you be willing to put all of your money, all of your future, all of your stock in yourself into two other people who have clearly mismanaged things before?
That's another element that I was hesitant about when Tucker was saying, if I was Russell Wilson, I'd go to Chicago.
That's the only...
Like, I was thinking just personnel.
No, that's fair. That's fair, but it was every...
I mean, he instantly gets a much better defense than what he's had in Seattle the past 2 years.
That's fair, but I think out of the three or the four teams you see here, ownership-wise, the Bears are at the bottom of that list.
Oh, yeah, they're idiots.
But I do think... I mean, obviously, pros and cons to everything. We talk about that all the time. Yin and yang, contrarians, all those...
Sure.
Whole nine yards, all those buzzwords with that. But, I mean, when you're looking at it, if you're just purely ranking personnel, I'd throw the Bears in the top. I mean, out of those four teams, they'd probably be number three, because you could probably convince me that Saints have a little bit more weapons, but would you want to go play with Taysom? Would you want to go play with Taysom looking over your shoulder all the time? And then if Russell Wilson goes there, do the Saints want to keep Taysom? There's so many different variables to those.
He's not good enough to look over Russell Wilson's shoulder.
He's not worth the money that they're paying him.
Sure, he's tall enough, but I mean...
He's tall enough to look over Drew Brees' shoulder.
Hell, you could use Taysom Hill as a trade asset to... ease up that contract.
But who's going to trade for Taysom, man? Who's
going to
use
him? Someone will take a chance. You can use him as a wide receiver.
Sean Payton's...
As a utility guy, you can use him.
It's fair. I don't know if... is anybody else as experimental as Sean Payton?
You don't have to be experimental. Just run him as like a little slot back, a slot receiver.
I guess.
Someone would surely take a chance on Taysom. Washington would take a chance on Taysom, though.
Yeah. Like, you need like a slot receiver, gritty kind of guy, run slants and, you know, go get the ball.
Hell, the Giants might take Taysom Hill.
Yeah. He's decent. He's not a quarterback. He's not going to be your quarterback ever, but he can be a decent third option, second option if you're pretty weak in wide receiver.
He's getting paid to be a quarterback, though. Sure. That's what I'm saying. I think someone will take a flyer and be like, "Hey, let's see how this guy looks at quarterback," because he hasn't gotten enough reps in New Orleans for someone to make the judgment.
How great has he looked?
I'd rather have Jameis than Taysom. If we're going strictly for picking up,
I agree on that.
I can agree. Obviously, Swiss Army knife factors much lean Taysom Hill's way compared to Jay Wild.
I wouldn't be using Taysom Hill's and like Swiss Army knife. I would just have him running like jets and
exactly. But then you get predictable. Tree. That's the thing I was mentioning about like who can use him like Sean Payton. Like I think Sean Payton might just be maxing out Taysom Hill's potential. In my opinion, I don't know if he would be able to be used as well anywhere else, because I do think Sean Payton's that level of genius. But regardless of anything, we're playing birthdays next. Don't go anywhere. Time for the birthday game. I'm hosting Alex Folke, Tucker, all going at it. It's going to be interesting. Got some fun names today. Some names y'all should know. Some names that are going to be a little bit harder than usual, but names nonetheless. Still checking through here, make sure I don't miss anybody important. But I think I'm pretty good for right now. We'll start in the world of music. Are y'all ready?
Yes.
Sounds good, Alex.
Tucker, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Come on, get pumped.
Are you ready?
Woo!
We're starting in the world of music. Guitarist. Famous guitarist is what he is listed at, but musician in general.
Led Zeppelin.
That is a band. February 25th, 1943 in Liverpool, England.
Jimi Hendrix.
Is when he was born. That is incorrect. Passed away, unfortunately, November 29th, 2001 at the age of 58. Multi-instrumentalist, singer, and songwriter. Best known
Keith
for his
Richards.
Time with one band, with whom he wrote well-known hits such as Here Comes the Sun, Something, While My Guitar Gently Weeps. He later founded the platinum-selling supergroup, the Traveling Wilburys, and had a successful solo career highlighted by the 70s triple album All Things Must Pass, which is one of my favorite albums of all time. He auditioned to join the group in front of these two people, who were the leaders of this band, in 1958, performing the song Guitar Boogie Shuffle by Arthur Smith. For his audition, McCarthy, member of that band group that we were talking about earlier, that it gives you any hint, initially deemed him too young at the age of just 15, but this man eventually won him over. Excuse me. He and a sitar player, Ravi Shankar.
Just go ahead.
Paul McCartney.
I said Paul McCartney's name, so it's not him. It's not John Lennon, member of the Beatles. There's only two other guys. And it's not Ringo Starr.
George Harrison.
It is George Harrison. I'm embarrassed to be associated with any of you right now.
Sorry.
Their names.
Lucky guess.
Don't listen
you were born
to
in
too much of the Beatles.
The Beatles are the greatest band of all time. February 25th, 1976. I can go Cordell Patterson statistics argument. I can agree with you, maybe not the most fun band, but best band statistically, yes. Same with the Cordell Patterson returner. I think Devin Hester's a little bit more fun to watch or listen to.
They didn't even play anybody, Paul.
They started everything. I can't help it.
They didn't play anybody, Paul.
February 25th.
No, they copied.
Bro, okay, they were just leaders of every studio instrumental ever. I mean, just great experimentalist. February 25th, 1976, movie actress, also known as a television actress. Los Angeles, California, 45 years old today. She actually is, before I get into any of her famous work, there's a great documentary about her father, who I did not know who her father was, a famous musician named Quincy Jones. Is her father a fantastic documentary on this person? Oh, shoot. I just realized I made a mistake. But played straight-laced Anne on Parks and Rec and Karen on
Rashida
The Office.
Jones.
It is Rashida Jones. I apologize for giving the last name as soon as I
you
said it.
As soon as you said Jones, I was like, it might be Rashida Jones.
Yeah, as soon as I said the last name of him, I apologize.
The Office as well.
She's 45.
Yeah, she's 45.
Wow.
I mentioned Karen from The Office.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't listening.
My apologies. Ric Flair. Oh,
Ric Flair.
Oh boy,
that's a point.
Damn, Will loses today.
Been struggling.
It's
struggling.
Hey, shake it off
today.
Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off.
I coughed and then I said sorry to Alex and it just completely threw me off.
I just won't say anything now.
Thank you. Comedian, kind of. February 25th, 1975, Livingston, New Jersey. 46 years old today. American comedian and former late night talk show host.
Jimmy Fallon.
Of her own show, which aired on E.
Chelsea Handler.
That is correct. I want to make sure you got the right name correct. All right. Another comedian born in Rockledge, Florida.
I'm sure it wasn't Kelsey Handler.
I believe it's Chelsea.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah.
It worked before.
No, it didn't. February 25th, 1965. He is 56 years old today. Bizarre comedian, prop comedian, who odds inventions are used at the center of his stand-up acts. Began headlining. It is Carrot Top. Basketball players. Actually, I'll go football players first. We'll get the football players out of the way.
Yeah, and then let's.
There are four big name basketball
That's
players
fine.
Today.
It's
I'm
fine.
Going to have to do
it's
them.
Okay. It's okay.
You'll know some names. I don't know if you'll know them before Alex, but you'll know some names. But we'll go football players first.
Right. That's cool.
February 25th, 2000. United States is his birthplace. Just the whole place. 21 years old today. Because they have nothing on this person, but you know this person. He's an American football player, best known for playing quarterback at the University of Auburn. Two-time
Nick Marshall.
Two-time state football champion. It is Bo Nix.
That a boy, Folky.
Thanks.
Nick Marshall's 21.
Close. You're close.
At least I didn't say like Cam.
You get mad about basketball and your football
players. At least I didn't say like Cam Newton. Dude, as soon as he says the age, it's gone. It's not in my brain.
Let's see if you get this one. This one's I'll do as many football players as I can because I'm going to have to do basketball players. So
okay.
I'll go ahead and just
okay.
do as many as I
sure.
can. February 25th, 1988, Dallas, Texas, 33 years old today. Former NFL quarterback who was selected 12th overall in the 2011 draft by the Minnesota Vikings. Helped lead the team to a playoff appearance in 2013. He was a top 20 prospect out of high school and was recruited and played football at the University of Florida State. He's married to ESPN.
Sam Ponder. No, that's his wife. Christian Ponder.
It is Christian Ponder, married to Samantha Ponder.
Thought I almost gave it away right there.
February 25th, 1988, also a football player. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, 33 years old. Defensive tackle who made his NFL debut for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2010 and was led to his which led to his selection to his first Pro Bowl in 2012.
Gerald McCoy.
It is Gerald McCoy. We'll do one more football player. February 25th, 1986, Daphne, Alabama, 35 years old today. Athletic quarterback who broke FBS record for most rushing yards as well as Big
Michael
East
Vick.
Touchdowns. Nope. Recorded while at West Virginia. Known as one of the biggest drafts of
Smith.
All time. It is Pat White. Good pull there. And that's all the football players for today.
He was filthy on NCAA. He was disgusting on
OP.
NCAA. He was broken. My brother used him every time.
There's a dude named Ed Balls born today.
Ed Balls?
Ed Balls. He's a politician.
What a beast. Ed Balls, baby.
I'm checking to make sure
what
I don't miss
legend.
Anybody else before I go back. Before I go basketball players, but there's – okay, here – coaches. We'll go coaches. Famous football coach, February 25th, 1958, Culver City, California, 63 years old today. Served
Andy
as
Reid.
Served as the head coach of the St. Louis and Los Angeles Rams from 2012 to 2016. He also coached the Houston
Wade
Oilers.
Fisher.
And it is Jeff Fisher.
Man, I forgot Jeff Fisher coached for them.
Yep, he did. All right.
It wasn't good. No, it was not good.
It wasn't fun. It was not fun at all.
No.
Tennis players? No, there's no good tennis players in there. All right, we're going basketball players.
I mean, you got like 3 days out of the year that tennis players are going to be good.
I held off as long as I could. We're going basketball players. Start with the number one guy and just continue to move. We'll start with the lowest guy and continue to move through. Give people more likelihood. February 25th, 1989, Glen Falls, New York, 32 years old. Today, NBA shooting guard, former NBA shooting guard, I must add, who was drafted 10th overall by the Sacramento Kings in 2011 after a remarkable career at this Mormon university. He joined the Shanghai Sharks in 2017.
Jimmer Fredette.
It is Jimmer Fredette.
Oh.
You could have gotten that.
I could have, yeah. He said Mormon school, and I was like, okay, BYU. But like, when I had to think BYU, it did, I don't know.
No, it's fair. That's fair. Didn't work. Born February 25th, 1997, Wayu, South Sudan. I hope I'm pronouncing that correct. 24 years old, 7'1", Australian Sudanese center who was named to a five-star recruit by rivals as a member of the high school class of 2015. He was selected 10th overall in the 2016 draft by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Thon Maker.
It is Thon Maker.
I forgot about old Thon.
February 25th, 1985, New York City, New York, 36 years old, NBA center, who won the NBA's Defensive Player of the Year and in 2014, joined the Chicago Bulls in 2007 and was named to his first NBA All-Star game in 2013.
Joakim Noah.
It is Joakim Noah. Basketball player, February 25th, 1994, born in Illinois, 27 years old, point guard who became Wichita State's all-time leading assist leader.
Fred VanVleet.
It is Fred VanVleet. Can't do anything. We'll go one more basketball player just to test his knowledge and not really anybody else's. February 25th, 1989, East Chicago, Indiana. 32 years old, NBA guard who was drafted 55th overall in the 2011 draft by the Boston Celtics. Played 4 years of college basketball at Purdue. He was named to the first big team.
Etwan Moore.
It is Etwan Moore. Good pull right there. Let's go one more just to test your knowledge. Croatia, February 25th, 1995, 26 years old. Croatian shooting guard and small forward who won the Spanish ACB League title with SC Barcelona Basket in 2014. He was selected fifth overall in the 2015 draft by the Orlando Magic.
Mario Hezonja.
There's no R in there. It's just Hezonja, but yes, that is correct.
Idiot.
Try to get better, man.
Just do better.
Go listen to All Things Must Pass by George Harrison. It's a fantastic album. Y'all didn't know too much about George Harrison, and I was a little embarrassed.
Who cares?
I do. R.I.P. George. Shout out everyone's birthday. Shout out Ric Flair. That would have been a fun hint, but I just gave it away.
Yeah, woo! I would have got that one.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's fine. I'm sure.
You did that one on purpose because you know I'd get it.
I'm sure. We'll be right sick back. Of this game. He was born in Memphis.
Defeated Tucker
sick
is back.
You know that sick of this game. Ric Flair was born in Memphis.
Who cares?
I do.
Who cares? I don't like Memphis.
We gotta go.
We love you guys.